there's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Evan Ellis. He is the Latin American Research Professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We go to the tri-border area. For years, I've reported in the tri-border area without looking closely at what this means to three countries, Argentina, Brazil, the two big ones, and Paraguay, all fitted together neatly in a part of Argentina that hooks around in a U-shape up the bottom, the south part of Paraguay, and then abuts Argentina, so that there are two rivers that come together just at that border meeting. And Ciudad del Este is the city where we now travel. To look at the video, Ciudad del Este is a modest town in California. You would recognize it. It's semi-tropical, has lots of small vehicles and big SUVs running around. The shopping looks to be rich. There are residential towers. I did not see a downtown area, but it abuts a beautiful forest, or semi-tropical forest. There are two big rivers within tourist distance, one that I'm told has a spectacular fall. The other one has a hydroelectric plant. But here looks to be the center of the money laundering universe, or at least one of them. Evan, a very good evening to you. Now that I've discovered it, it's a gorgeous territory. The question is, Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil, are they all agreed on this money laundering? Is it something that they see and know about but don't intend to interrupt? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's a pleasure to be part of the show. And yes, for quite some time, Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay have all been very aware of the many different illicit activities, not only money laundering, but arms trafficking, various different types of trade-based laundering, harboring of terrorist groups, and a range of other things. It's interesting because, as you indicated, the geography where you have three countries coming together and that creating certain difficulties for state control. When you look at Brazil's 10 borders, with the region, with the rest of South America, there are actually technically 9 separate tri-border area-like regions, each with its own separate problems and difficulties. But certainly in each one of those, and especially in Ciudad del Este and in the tri-border with Brazil and in Argentina, there has been a lot of focus. It really goes back to the 1990s as well, when there was awareness of the location of different persons of Lebanese descent who had long been immersed in Latin America in the import-export business. But the money that they were raising, especially with importing consumer electronics and things like that, began to attract other activities, including providing money for organizations like the Hezbollah, which then went over, of course, to the Middle East and ultimately came back to bite us as we became involved in that after 9/11.
We come to a news report recently. The U.S. and Paraguayan governments took coordinated action against the money laundering network of Qasem Mohamed Hijazi, a Brazilian citizen of Lebanese descent implicated in government corruption and Hezbollah terror finance. Now, that's enough confusion for an afternoon. He is Brazilian, Lebanese descent, accused of money laundering for the Hezbollah terrorists of the Middle East, and he's living in Ciudad del Este. And the understanding here is that you can't live there without the Paraguayan authorities knowing what you're doing. So it looks very much that we need to explore each of these separate groups. First of all, a Brazilian living in Paraguay doesn't seem odd. However, Lebanese descent, is there a large Lebanese diaspora in Brazil? And is it significant throughout the continent or just in Brazil?
There absolutely is, John. There's a huge population, especially in Sao Paulo, but the real explosion of the Lebanese diaspora in South America goes back to the 1975 Lebanese Civil War, when Lebanese went to various different parts of the world. It's interesting, though, that persons of Lebanese descent have long been a part of Latin American politics. Indeed, seven of Latin America's past presidents are of Lebanese descent, and even people like Carlos Slim, the richest man in Mexico, is of Lebanese descent. And so this certainly is nothing new. When you say Brazil, for example, Michel Temer, the previous Brazilian president, was actually of Lebanese descent. But certainly you find that the way that the Lebanese communities and the diaspora has settled in places like Guayaquil, Ecuador, where you can find some of the best shawarma in Latin America, as well as places like the TBA. One of the key things is that because Lebanese families had become so involved in the import-export business, that really propelled some of these connections now to money laundering and funding of groups like Hezbollah.
The Paraguayan government, I understand that they set the rules. This is their nation. However, is this an advantage for them to make themselves available for international financial transactions? I'm trying to avoid making condemnatory statements. It's Paraguay's sovereignty, and at this point, is everybody making money? Is there a risk here that to Paraguay?
The difficulty is that Paraguay has always been a very weakly governed state. You certainly had a strong governance under the dictatorship of Alfredo Stroessner, but you also had longstanding criminal ties. So, for example, the Zacarias family, which is considered to be one of the dominant families in Ciudad del Este, traces their control in the region back to the Stroessner dictatorship, and indeed the previous president of Paraguay, Horacio Cartes. And so what you find is that there's often been a complicity. Part of the difficulty, though, also for Paraguay, certainly because Paraguay does not have access to the sea, but it is centrally positioned. And so what happened is that because of tax incentives, Ciudad del Este became the center for Brazilians coming over to buy consumer electronics, and with it a lot of illicit goods. But Ciudad del Este isn't so much a financial center as it is a center for illicit commerce, kind of the, to use a Star Wars comparison, the Mos Eisley's of the center of South America. But it's really the lack of control and the collaboration of families more than anything else, though, that really has permitted that.
Professor Brazil, we follow the Lebanese diaspora to Brazil, 9 million or so, and the country is now in a re-election mode. I follow the president, Bolsonaro, closely because he's always in the headlines, most recently declaring to the press there are three possible outcomes of the re-election. He's re-elected, he's arrested, or he's assassinated. Very dramatic. But at the same time, we have articles in North America and elsewhere, I can't read them in Spanish, suggesting that he's gotten close to the military, something about a military coup. There's also the question about whether he is anti-Amazon, that is, whether we've talked about this, whether he doesn't care about the destruction of the Amazon forest. What is it about Bolsonaro that creates all this friction in Brazil? And is this campaign rhetoric, or has it been this way throughout his term?
It's a great question, John. For me, Bolsonaro is a typical populist politician. His military connection actually goes back to the time before his career in the Brazilian Senate, when he actually retired, I believe, as a captain. And so he's always had military connections, and he's always deferred to and shown great respect for the military. Indeed, has brought in military officers in a number of key places, including as vice president, Hamilton Morales. But he never attained a significant second military position. So it's probably misleading to talk of him as a, you know, a military officer at his core. But certainly his rhetoric has been, has connected well to the people who were tired of the perception of political correctness and leftist center policies under the previous Worker Party government of Lula da Silva and his follow-on then Vice President Dilma Rousseff and the associated corruption, things like the Lava Jato scandal. And so in many ways, Bolsonaro was perceived by a core of, you know, kind of marginal lower classes, as well as people from a more rural base, as somebody who was straight talking and really resonated with them. Also, he embraced evangelical movements within Brazil, and so he was seen as having a bit of a religious base as well. And so, ironically, over the years, some of his off-the-cuff remarks about management of COVID and other things, people who love him are not going to be dissuaded of about his perceived gaffes and his remarks, but people who hate him are you know, deeply against him. Sounds a little bit like another country that we both know.
Yes, and he's now making remarks about the election process being corrupt. I've heard this before. So the puzzle is this good campaigning in Brazil? It's a very large country. I think more than 100 million people in many languages, because it's Portuguese, it's Spanish, it's French, it's Lebanese. And the Amazon forest certainly is a treasure. It's not the only country with the Amazon forest, but its development in the big cities is critical. The pandemic has leveled everybody. There's no picking on one particular country to say it has or has not handled this successfully. So is the complaining about Bolsonaro the campaign of his rivals, or is there international agreement that his tenure has been unacceptable?
There is controversy over Bolsonaro. Certainly, if you look at the numbers in terms of Amazon deforestation, there was significant deforestation that occurred during the administration of his predecessors, Lula and Dilma Rousseff. The problem with Bolsonaro is he was perceived as being aligned with some of the groups that had the greatest interest in advancing deforestation, you know, the ranchers, the timber farmers, and others. Also, of course, mining in Brazil, illegal mining also contributes to deforestation. And so really the rhetoric fed the concept that he was anti-deforestation or anti, but in reality, his orientation has been actually looking at the Amazon as a national treasure. Now, when you look at the numbers, the deforestation rates are up about 9% this year. That fluctuates a bit, but certainly the past couple of years there have been difficulties. If you look at recently, one of the things that just happened is that in June of this year, his environmental minister, Ricardo Salles, was forced to resign over charges that he had colluded with Amazon logging interests. And so there are reasons that the Europeans, the U.S., and others, especially the Biden administration, have been concerned. But the reality is really complex, and it has a lot to do with the economic development imperatives and the imperfect control over the enormous Amazon, which is a difficult thing for anyone, even the Brazilian army and federal forces, to control, and not just Bolsonaro.
Is Brazil held to a different standard than the rest of Latin America? I'm learning these things slowly, Professor, but the pandemic has damaged everyone's economy, and it damaged it in the second year in excess of what happened in the first year. They've been slow to acquire a vaccine. They now have some, but still it's concentrated in the large cities. Countries like Peru have been very badly damaged and are in turmoil. Argentina has not escaped the pandemic. So does Brazil stand out as a failure, or is it part of the whole continent's struggles?
Brazil's response to COVID-19 has certainly been in many ways less effective than many of its neighbors. You know, Brazil was relatively slow to recognize and implement social distancing measures. Jair Bolsonaro himself was seen as downplaying many ways the virus, ways that were not seen as effective in control. And many times there were conflicts between state governors in Brazil, especially Sao Paulo state, with regard to what was appropriate in terms of social distancing. Brazil actually had a relatively good healthcare system on the public side, with the exception of rural areas and in remote areas such as Manaus, which helped out a little bit, but certainly the number of Brazilians who have been infected by the virus is almost that of the United States, and the level of mortality is significantly higher than that we've seen in the United States. So certainly, there's a good argument to be made that the Bolsonaro response deserves fairly negative remarks, but it has been uneven, and there are some bright points along the way.
Professor Evan Ellis, he is the Latin American Research Professor, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We're going to turn to another election campaign. This one in Colombia. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We use sunscreen para proteger la piel, ¿verdad? So why not be proactive protegiendo tu salud bucal también? Hola, mi gente, soy Amarla Negra. Y con el sistema de prevención activa Colgate Total, tú puedes ayudar a prevenir problemas bucales como las caries y gingivitis antes de que empiecen. The reformulated toothpaste, innovative toothbrush, and refreshing antibacterial mouthwash were designed to work together to be 15 veces más efectivos reduciendo bacterial buildup, la causa principal de los problemas orales en solo 6 semanas, starting in week 1, compared to a non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and a flat-tongue toothbrush. Eso es prevention power, baby. Compra el sistema de prevención Activa Colgate Total visitando shop.colgate.com/total. Protect your oral health and be dentist ready.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
With Venmo Stash, a taco in one hand, and ordering a ride in the other, means you're stacking cash back. Nice. Get up to 5% cash back with Venmo Stash on your favorite brands when you pay with your Venmo debit card. From takeout to ride shares, entertainment and more, pick a bundle with your go-tos and start earning cash back at those brands. Earn more cash when you do more with Stash. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.